Hi, Reds Watch listeners. It's Friday, February 4th, and it's been a tumultuous week in Egypt, as I'm sure you know. In recent days, Egyptian authorities have launched a crackdown on rights workers and journalists. Despite this, protesters have continued to get out onto the streets, demanding that Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak step down. Human Rights Watch's Heba Mareif has been sending dispatches from Tahrir Square. She begins her audio diary last Monday, the seventh day of protests. It'll give you a sense of how violence erupted this week and what it's like to be on the ground in Cairo.
It's interesting to see the evolution in the mood in the square. This is the seventh day running, and you'd think that people start getting very tired. But no, they're out here, and the atmosphere is very relaxed, very festive. It's very secure because the military are checking IDs at the entrance to the square. And I asked one of them why, and he said that it's to stop the police coming in. And people really feel that they can completely express themselves for the first time on the street in Egypt in a massive group of tens of thousands of protesters. People are holding up signs. All the different political forces are out here. And then you see sort of individualized issues that don't necessarily get addressed publicly very much. So it's a group of around 30 Nubians walking around holding up a sign saying the rights of a Nuba of Egypt have been ignored for so long. We want a change in the leadership. Egyptians who've experienced a lot of discrimination or violations over the years feel that they now have a safe space to come to, and that this is catching on and really creating a momentum that will be very difficult to stand down upon if the government and the military does decide that this must end and that it won't listen to the demands of protesters.
Day 7 started with some of us going around the city and hearing increasingly from people that they thought the protesters had done a good job to start off with, but that it was time to calm down now and you know, enough of this anti-Mubarak chanting. And I'm walking home now. It's 12 o'clock. 10 minutes ago I heard at least, you know, a large group of very powerful chanting. I'd say at least sort of 60 plus people from across the river to Zemelik on the Imbeba side chanting pro-Mubarak chants and also a pro-Gamel slogan. When I went downstairs, I asked our neighborhood patrol what they'd heard, and they said, yeah, those people must have been paid off because, you know, who does that otherwise and why now? I also heard rumors from other people that they were planning to walk towards Tahrir. And walking down my street, I heard another of the doormen on the phone having a discussion about the general situation, saying, you know, it's all very good, but I think it's time for people to go home because, you know, they're never going to have all their demands met in a day and a night. So it's time to calm down and, you know, not politicize it too much.
It's day 8 and crowds have been streaming into the main square, 11 a.m. onwards. Hundreds of people are still streaming across the bridge into the main square, which is packed. There's barely room to walk. At least twice as many people as have been in the square over the past few days. And at the entrances, what I think is really an indicator of a general mood here is the fact that they're not only checking IDs and telling us that they want to make sure that no convicted criminals and significantly no policemen are able to sneak into the square, but they've also created a separate entrance for the women so that women are protected from harassment, which is a very big concern in any public space in Egypt.
It's day 9, and the fragile space of freedom, hope, seems very threatened today. I went to the square at 9 a.m., and people suspected of being members of the NDP were being mobbed, dragged over to the military and handed over. I asked the crowd how they knew they were NDP members, and they said they've been speaking to people and telling them to go home. We always knew this was a risk. These are tactics that are employed around elections so that the violence seems to be coming from plainclothes individuals who are normal citizens as opposed to state-sponsored. And we know that this is a tactic that the NDP itself has employed, even where it's not directly, even when not directly employed by security. One woman I spoke to said that in front of the TV building as she was walking along the Corniche this morning, a man was offering £50 for people to go and say that they were, that protesters should go home. And after the violence in Alexandria last night, all of a sudden, the safe space that was Tahrir seems very threatened. I keep talking about the safe space and how exciting and empowering it was to just be there in the midst of all these happy people who have hope that for once they can actually change the country, change the way things are, have their demands listened to. It's Friday, February 4th, and I'm standing on Qasr-i Nil Bridge again, and hundreds of people are streaming across the bridge into Tahrir Square. It's 3 p.m. and the square is already almost at maximum capacity, almost as crowded as it was last Friday, the day of anger, where everyone was called upon to turn out and to really push to escalate the demands of protesters. And with these many more hundreds streaming across the bridge into the square, I think it will definitely be the same number, if not surpass the number of protesters who were out there last Friday. I went to Tahrir Square at 10 a.m. today. I wanted to get there before the Friday prayers, which start around midday, because that's when it gets very crowded. And also, it's generally after Friday prayers that a lot of the chanting and the noise starts. By the time I got to Tahrir, I think it was around 10:30, and there was already a queue of around 700 people at the entrance from the Qasr-i Nil Bridge, where the military tanks are parked. Once we got through, they were checking IDs, they checked my bag, they body searched us at least twice. This is more of the volunteer organizing committee types that are positioned behind the military officers. But the square was already pretty full, and that was quite early in the morning. And there was a constant stream of hundreds of people just coming through the entrances and coming down the bridge. If you look back, the bridge was almost full of people walking towards the square. It was almost surreal how different the square was from the days before. The days before were very violent, and while there were a lot of people who were, you know, energized and wanted to take a stance and you know, defend the space they felt that they had finally managed to take in the square, many, many others were very worried by the deterioration in the security situation and were not sure where this would lead. I think the Prime Minister's apology on television was one way of reassuring some people. And that kind of apology is very interesting, because it's quite unprecedented for a public official in Egypt to admit to a mistake in that way, or to commit to an investigation. We'll see how far the investigation goes, because our experience is that not a single investigation into acts of violence around demonstrations, around police brutality at demonstrations, has ever progressed beyond the office of the prosecutor. They're just not properly investigated.
That was Heba Moreev, Egypt researcher for Human Rights Watch. You can check for more audio and text updates from Heba and our colleagues on the ground at hrw.org. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham.